Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. John and Helen, I apologize. If I knew you guys were coming, I'd have had Hershey kisses. I usually give our friends a kiss from God, but we ran out of Hershey kisses and you don't have a children's sermon. But we love you and I owe you a kiss from God, okay? So remind me. Okay, Bonnie, remind me. We need to give you some Hershey kisses here. There's an interfaith conference in 1954 in Switzerland, and the famous Buddhist scholar who brought Zen Buddhism to America, Dazen Suzuki, and a Christian scholar were discussing the passage that Carol read today, our first reading. And Dr. Suzuki remarked, God against man. Man against God. Man against nature. Nature against man. Nature against God. God against nature. Very funny religion. Very funny religion. But I think what Dr. Suzuki considers funny religion, I love about the Bible. I love about our Christian faith. The Bible is a book of total honesty, total candor about the goodness of God and our imperfections. You know, how Israel, through the Old Testament, rebelled against God over and over and over again, but God was faithful as a husband to his wife. He loved her. You know, we don't, like Adam and Eve, we don't have to hide from God. God loves us. God loves Adam and Eve. He gives us love and guidance on how to live through the Ten Commandments, through Jesus' teachings, through the Sermon on the Mount, and we are free to listen and free not to listen to God. And when we don't listen to God and disobey God and, like Frank Sinatra, want to do it our way, then there are consequences to behavior, you see. God loves us, but he does not coddle us. And when we gossip or lie or kill or commit adultery or worship idols or steal or have lazy thinking about things, there are consequences. Yet when we are honest with God and honest with ourselves about our shortcomings and turn back to God, repent, turn back to God, remember our baptism, turn back to God, then our relationship is healed. The secret is being honest. So let's try it. How many here this morning are sinners? Come on, Dave. Good, 100%, 100%. How many here this morning, raise your hand, are loved by God? Okay, that was a little easier, right? We hate to say we're sinners, but you know. How many here today are saved sinners? Okay, you get the idea. You get the idea. That's why the early church talked about felix culpa. Oh, happy fault. Happy fault. That we can be honest with God and know that God loves sinners. He'll leave the 99 and go after the lost sheep. You know, I found that a very strong way on my first spiritual retreat. Back in 1988, I was with the Cynical Sisters off Fifth Avenue. It was a silent retreat, and Sister Judith was my confessor, and she was telling me that, you know, God loves you, Fred. And I said, yeah, but Sister, I have some parts about me that are dark, that parts about me I'm ashamed of, some blunders I've made in my life. And she said, you know what? God loves you. He loves your shame. He loves your blunders. He loves your dark side. And for some reason, I had tears and cried like a baby. I knew that here, but the Holy Spirit gave it to me right here, that this is how much God loves me and how much God loves you. For you and I are loved sinners. Martin Luther said, we're justus in peccato. We're sinner and saint at the same time. We live in that tension. But when we confess, we receive forgiveness. And when we are honest with God and honest with ourselves, there is healing. Thank God he loves sinners. There's more rejoicing in a sinner that comes back to God in heaven than 99 righteous people that don't need it. And I don't know if you know those people, but if you do, they're really boring and uptight. There's a story about some boys that young boys were playing, and they came across a stray dog. And they waited, and there's no collar, no. So they thought, oh, this dog, okay, we could get this dog. So the boys start talking, well, who's going to get the dog? And they said, hey, whoever can tell the biggest lie gets the dog. Meanwhile, this pastor's walking by, and he hears their plan, and he gets really upset. And he goes over to the boys, and he said, you can't be telling lies. And he started going into a five-minute sermon about the catechism and don't bear false witness and don't lie and things like that. And he pointed out in the Bible. And in fact, he says, he concludes by saying that when he was their age, he never told a lie. He never sinned. The boys were quiet. And then the littlest boy, he looked at the pastor and he said, we might as well give up. He gets the dog. Unfortunately, the pastor didn't get it. The great Swiss psychologist, Carl Jung, once said, one does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but making darkness conscious and by admitting your shadow side and letting God forgive them. Because there's a lot of energy in that, but if you're going to deny and pretend, that takes a lot of energy too that you could be using for good things. Name it. Where we miss the mark. Because since basically the Hebrews would say about if you're, like you're shooting at a target and you miss the mark. So you want to be better aim at the target. To know where you miss the mark, admit it, confess it to God, to one another. I think it's stronger when you admit it to one another because God already knows. Or admit to the pastor or somebody that you trust. And then to know God's forgiveness, love, and freedom, and amendment of life that you can now do and live a life more in harmony with the love that God gives you. God loves even your darkness and your shadow side. I mean, when Sister Judith drove that home to me, and the Holy Spirit did. You see, Jesus descended into hell. You know, we have Good Friday and Easter, but Holy Saturday, we miss that. That's when Jesus went into hell. That's why in our Apostles' Creed, I don't say descended to the dead. He descended to hell. He went all the way down. And they, the Eastern Orthodox have a beautiful icon where on Holy Saturday, Jesus is pulling Adam out of hell and Eve out of hell and Moses and all the, you know, it's called the harrowing of hell, that he's bringing us out. You see, Jesus loves you just the way you are. But Jesus loves you too much to leave you just the way you are. And you, when you follow Jesus, there always are growing pains. And when you follow Jesus, there always are people that are going to lie about you. That's where, you know, the sin against the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. He has the Spirit. He is God. And they're saying, oh, he's got the double. That's going against the Holy Spirit. And that's a sin that is big. Adam and Eve rebelled against God and gave in to the serpent. And there were consequences with God. You know, the only one who followed God perfectly. And you read like Matthew's, I'm taking a course on that, Matthew's gospel, and saying like Matthew, Jesus in Matthew is really following the steps of Israel, you know, going out of Egypt, and you know, but Jesus did it right. Israel didn't. But he was perfect, and Jesus cast out demons, and he told parables of love, and he healed people, and he ends up on the cross. The religious big shots said he was a blasphemer. The Romans called him a terrorist, put him on the cross. Now, that's the sin against the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, it was a Roman centurion who said, surely he's the Son of God. He had the Spirit, so you can't limit where the Spirit goes. And Jesus brings us salvation and ends up on the cross. So the Bible is a very honest book. There's even consequences for doing love and good. But it shows both the beauty and ugliness of our human condition and the relationship with God that we have. The Bible also gives us a living picture of how God wants things done and what is the good news of Jesus Christ. God wants things the way they were at the very beginning. You know, before there was original sin, there was original blessing. God made, and it was good. How many times do we read in Genesis 1? God created, and it was good. God spoke, and it was good, good, good. Original blessing. And God spoke, and the world was created. And it was all good. Original blessing. Jesus teaches us that God is not almighty. God is that. But he called him God Abba, dear Father, dear Mother, dear forming, divine forming, loving mystery. And as we open to Jesus' Spirit, St. Paul tells us in our second reading that Carol read, that our inner nature is being renewed, how often? Day by day, each day. Martin Luther says of baptism, we can die and rise with Christ every day, like in a baptism. We died and rose again out of the water. We can die to our old way of life. We're never stuck. There's always hope. Always hope. Faith, hope, and love. These three abide. And we will be raised with Jesus by God, and we will see the glory of God face to face. Wow, what a happy day. What a glorious day that's going to be. Wow. Until then, we are in the world. We're not of the world. We're of Christ. We're of the Spirit. But we're in the world. In the world which is messy. A world which is wounded. A world that can do beautiful things and ugly things. A world where you can save a few refugees and kill hundreds of people. That's the kind of world we live in. It's a mixed bag. And a world that has kindness and hate. And Jesus gives us his Spirit to be the good news people in the world, forgiven sinners in the world, people who are the light of the world, to be God's agents and ambassadors of love and reconciliation, people who share forgiveness and don't build walls, but build bridges, people who understand and love and listen to one another in our differences, people who accept and are curious, they don't point fingers, but curious about somebody who's different because Jesus Christ lives. This is God's will. You are given that Spirit. You are given that grace and that wonder and that responsibility. And whoever does the will of God is Jesus' brother or sister or mother or father. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.